Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening service. Welcome to all who are gathered in here in the church building, downstairs and upstairs. And hello to those who will be listening to this later on at home. Just the announcements for the week ahead. Tomorrow night there's a presbytery meeting at 8 o'clock in Cullybaggy. Harold Kerr and myself are due to be attending that on behalf of Kilrats, and that's for the presentation of the Newtownards call to Reverend David Sutherland. And then Tuesday evening this week, the midweek prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 o'clock, and that will be led by Roy Pinkerton. I'll be on holidays for a few days this week during the school half-term break. And then next Lord's Day, we have the Sabbath school classes at 11, worship at 12 noon in the church hall, and then the evening worship at 7:30 in the church building. And a reminder of the time change that's coming up next weekend, so it'll be even darker when we gather for our evening service. Well, those are the announcements that I'll mention here at our evening service. Let us join in the worship of God. We come to him in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to you now as we come together in order to worship you this evening. And we thank you that we can come to you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your own Son, the one that you have provided as the mediator between God and man. And we thank you for how he is perfectly equipped for that role. And we thank you for how he has performed that role so well in becoming one of us and in doing what we are unable to do in keeping your law. We thank you for that death that he died as a substitute for sinners. And we praise you that all who are united with him are accepted by you, and that you are well pleased with all those who are in Christ. We ask for your help now this evening as we seek to bring you again our worship on the Lord's Day. We pray that you will forgive us, O Lord, for all that is flawed and inadequate in us. And we pray that you will pardon us for the sake of your Son and for your great saving name. Hear us, O Lord, in our prayers now. We pray in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We read together from God's Word, turning first of all to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. I want to read some verses in Ezekiel chapter 33, and then in the New Testament, reading a few verses in Luke's Gospel chapter 6, and then also in the book of James, in James chapter 1. So our first reading then is from Ezekiel chapter 33, page 762 in our Pew Bible, and reading first of all at verse 7. Ezekiel 33 at verse 7. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live?' Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? And then at verse 30, in the same chapter, Ezekiel 33 at verse 30. Again, the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. And then we turn to the New Testament Gospel of Luke and chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 6, page 911 in our church pew Bible, and reading at verse 45. Luke 6, verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And then, final reading, James chapter 1 at verse 19. Page 1072 in our church Bible, the Epistle of James, chapter 1, at verse 19. And here we have these words. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. and so reads God's word. I want to speak this evening on being shaped by God's word. In the scriptures, we're taught that we are, if we're Christians, that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways in which we are to grow is by being increasingly shaped by the word of God. And this is something that is very basic, but is very important in the Christian life. And it's something in which every believer is aware of our shortcomings and our failings. So first of all, in regard to being shaped by God's word, I want to speak about how we fall short. How we fall short in terms of being shaped, our lives being shaped by God's word. If we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure all of us would have to confess that we do have a problem in this regard, that there's a deficit between what we should be as a result of taking in God's word and what we actually are, having taken in God's word. And Donald Whitney writes about this issue, and he says, "Many professing Christians bump along from Sunday to Sunday, year to year, with no recollection of changes in beliefs or practices as a result of new discoveries in the Word. They carry a Bible to church, but they couldn't tell you the last time their daily life was altered by it. They may even be daily Bible readers, and they have heard one or more sermons per week for years. Yet, it could never be said of them that they deliberately govern their daily lives by God's word." And those are challenging words, are they not? They reflect a great danger that is there for everyone who is familiar with the scriptures. And it's a danger that the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of in his preaching. And one of the passages we read included a verse in Luke 6, it's verse 46. Jesus asks the question. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" And there Jesus is saying, why is this? You call me Lord as if you would do whatever I say, but you don't actually do the things which I say. And he goes on then and he compares people like this to a man who builds his house without first laying a foundation. And that house, Jesus says, will inevitably fall. And Jesus says the ruin of that house was great. And this will be our experience also if we just do what seems right to us rather than doing what God instructs us in his word. And in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, and also in the New Testament, God warns us about the danger of the word of God that we hear in public and the word of God that we're able to read for ourselves having no real effect on our thinking, on our words, and on our living. And I want to speak first of all about the public hearing of God's word. And here we are gathered in Karatz in the church building, gathered together for a worship service. And in every worship service, we have the preaching of God's word. And what difference does the preaching of God's word ever make in our lives? We read from Ezekiel chapter 33. And there, God addresses the prophet Ezekiel. And he tells him what his role is, what he has to do in bringing God's message to the people. But he also tells Ezekiel what is actually happening when the people of Ezekiel's day gathered to hear what he had to say. And Ezekiel is told that the people that he speaks to, they gather together, and God says what they're saying. Verse 30, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So the people are encouraging each other to gather together, to hear what the message from the Lord is that Ezekiel will bring to them in the house or wherever it was that Ezekiel was preaching. This was during the exile, during the Babylonian captivity. And so the people come together regularly and they listen to the words of Ezekiel the prophet. But God says that what's actually happening is not a good thing, because he says in verses 31 and 32, so they come to you as people do, they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. They hear your words, but they do not do your words. And God says, for with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, God says, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And quite twice, God emphasizes that they are hearing the message, but they're not going to do anything in response to that message. And those must have been difficult words for Ezekiel to hear. Ezekiel would surely have been encouraged to see all these people coming to hear the message that he had to bring to them from the Lord. But he was told, Ezekiel, they're not going to do anything, whatever you say to them. And God puts these words into the scriptures, and they are intended to make us ask questions of ourselves. And surely all of us have been guilty of hearing a message proclaimed from the word of God, and we have heard it, but we haven't done anything about it. We can sit, and we can listen, and we can take it in, and we can concentrate upon it. Maybe we can even agree with it, but yet we still manage to go away and do nothing about it. And God was saying to Ezekiel that it was a bit like people watching a television program for entertainment. We watch it and we have no intention of changing our lives as a result of anything that we see and hear on the TV program. And so we're challenged in what God says to Ezekiel to consider, are we just listening, or do we actually do something in response to what we hear preached? And we could ask ourselves the question, in the year 2021, in what way have we responded? What have we done that is because of what we heard from the Word of God? The Scriptures challenge us as to whether our public hearing of God's Word is fruitful. Does the word that we hear preached, does it shape the way we think and the way we live? That's one side of things, thinking about how we fall short. But it's not only in terms of the word of God that we hear preached. We could also think about our personal reading of God's word when we're on our own, when we have the opportunity to read the scriptures for ourselves, and we're free to read wherever we want to read, We're not confined to whatever the preacher happens to be talking about. And are we any better in regard to our own personal intake of the Scriptures? James warns us in James 1, 22 to 24. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." And it's a very simple illustration that James uses. He tells us that reading the Scriptures is like looking at yourself in the mirror. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, there's usually some reason why we're doing that. We're not normally just checking how good-looking we are. We want to see if there's anything on our face that shouldn't really be there, if something doesn't look right. And if we see something that isn't right, well, then we can take action, do something about it. If you've got a bit of toothpaste on your chin, well, you can see it in the mirror and you can get rid of it. We do something about what we see in the mirror. And yet, when God's word is like a mirror and it shows us what we're like, and it shows up our flaws, well, then often we don't actually do anything about it at all. We just note that that's what the Scriptures are saying. We hear what God says, but we don't do anything about what God says. And so we can be guilty of reading the Scriptures for information, but not for application. Our minds are informed, but our lives aren't affected. We take in the message, but we don't live out the message. And all of us fail in that. Every week, no doubt, we fail in that. There's the things that we've read in the Scriptures in the past week, they maybe haven't really had much of an impact upon us at all. Hearing and reading are so much easier than doing. But God's word says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And do we have a problem here? Is this something in which we fall short? I suggest that it is, that all of us fall short in this regard, that there's a deficit between what we take in and what we produce. And it's good for us to be aware of that and to see that as being a problem. Well, then, in the second place, in thinking about being shaped by God's word, I've considered how we fall short. In the second place, I want to speak about how we can do better. We've noted what the problem is. Well, what is the solution to this problem? And the answer is that there is no easy solution. There is no quick fix to this matter. This is something that you will live with as long as you live. As long as you're alive, you'll be taking more in from the Scriptures than you will be responding to. That's what we are like as sinners. And certainly there is no quick solution that comes to you simply by listening to a sermon. That's what the problem is. So listening to a sermon isn't going to solve the problem. The solution, to what extent there is a solution, it has to be a hearing and doing solution. Otherwise, we're just adding to the problem that's there in the first place. Well, is there any Is there anything that is helpful in terms of seeking to be more responsive to the Word of God that we hear preached or that we read for ourselves? Well, there are things that we can do that can make a difference. And these things may help to some extent, but always we're going to be those who fall short in regard to our responsiveness to God's Word. First thing that I'll mention in terms of how we can do better is that we need to take time to meditate. We need to take time over God's Word, to take time to consider it, to think about it, maybe to find a particular phrase in what we've read or what we've heard preached upon, or maybe a verse to focus on, something that we can mull over in our minds. A quick, hurried reading of God's Word will never result in a changed life. If we read the Scriptures just to be able to say, I've read the Scriptures, it's not going to change us as people. We have to have a deliberate stopping and taking our time, a deliberate giving of detailed attention to what God is saying to us in His Word. And that just does require time. It's not something that can be rushed. The one person that all of us needs to listen to most of all is God Himself. And we have to hear what God says to us before we can do what God says to us. Sometimes when we're listening to people, we're not really listening to them. We're listening to what we think they're going to say. And we can't do that with God. We must hear what God says. And hearing doesn't just happen automatically. It takes effort to really listen to what God is saying in His Word. And all of you will know that your concentration can be all over the place whenever you're intending to read the Scriptures. So many other things come into your mind. And it takes effort to focus and to concentrate on the Word of God so that you can actually think about the things that God says to you in your Word. So we need to take time to meditate. You not truly take God's Word on board unless you give it time. There's no shortcuts where this is concerned. Second thing I say is that we can do better by seeking to respond in some way, to find some way of responding to what we read in the Scriptures or what we hear preached from the Scriptures. Donald Whitney gives this advice. He says, read the Bible daily and do not close it until you know at least one thing that God would have you do in response to your reading. Find one way of responding to what God has said in the Scriptures. Now, you might think, well, that sounds good, but it also sounds totally unrealistic. If I'm sitting here tonight and I can't think of one way in the past year that I have really changed in response to the Scriptures, how am I possibly every day going to do something in response to God's Word? That just doesn't seem possible. How could that ever come about? And probably lots of people would have that thought, that to find some way always of responding to God's Word just really doesn't fit with our experience and with reality. And I can understand that, and I could think that myself. But I want you to grasp this evening that there are a variety of different ways in which we can respond to the Scriptures. And different parts of the Scriptures will draw forth a different kind of appropriate response from us. Sometimes when we read God's Word, sometimes, maybe not very often, but sometimes you'll maybe find something that is new to you, something that you need to believe that you've never really thought about before. And here it is in the Scriptures, and you'd never thought along those lines. And it's a new thought to you. And there's something new to believe. Well, that is a response. If you take that on board and you incorporate that into your thinking, well, that is a response to the Word of God. I never knew that before. I never believed that before. But now I know it, and now I believe it. And your thinking has been changed. And you can always believe that from now on. That is a response to God's Word. Sometimes in reading the Scriptures, you'll find that they speak to you about a habit that you need to break. And we don't like it when the Scriptures do that annoying thing, when they show us that there's something we're doing that we need to stop doing. But the Scriptures do speak to us in that kind of way. Scriptures tell us that the person who's stealing must steal no more. And you could read those words again and again and it might not mean anything to you. And then someday God will bring into your thinking that there's something that you're doing and that's really stealing. And you'll not have a clear conscience about that. And you'll have to do something about it. And so God can show us that there's something about the way we live that needs to change. There's a habit we need to break. And the Scriptures can equally show us that if there's something we're doing wrong, that there's something else that we need to do instead that would be right. And so when the Scriptures tell us that let him that steals steal no more, it goes on to say, but let him do something useful with his hands. And so God leads us to consider, here's something much better that I could do. If this was wrong, well then, I can't just get rid of this, but I need to replace it with something so that I'm doing something something better and more helpful and beneficial. And God's Word can show us things that we're not doing that we need to start doing. And that can often be through the examples of people we see in the Scriptures. And we can see people doing things and the good things they're doing as a challenge to us and makes us think, well, is God saying to me that this is something that I should be doing in my own place and time and way? Sometimes we can respond to God's Word in and through our prayers. There'll be things you'll read in the Scriptures and you'll just want to thank God that that thing is true. And God's Word will warm your heart and you'll rejoice that this is the truth. Or you'll want to praise God that he is so great and so good and so kind. Or perhaps God will show you your sin and you know that in your prayer you need to confess your sin. And praying in response to what you find in the Scriptures, that is a response to God's Word. And it's important to understand that. If the things you read in the Bible leads you on to talk about those things with God, that is a response to his Word. That's what happens in life when you have a conversation. someone says something to you, you take on board what they've said and you respond to them. And this is how we can respond to God's word in our prayers. Sometimes the word of God will so work that a particular person will be brought into our mind because of something we've read in the scriptures. There may be something that's there in the passage that reminds you of a certain person. And you can pray for that person. Or you can resolve that you'll try to do something positive, something helpful in regard to that person. Maybe God will remind you of how you have a need to apologize to a person. Or maybe he'll make you think, well, maybe I could help that person in some way. Maybe the things I've gone through in life, I have some advice that I could give. And God, by His Spirit, working through the Scriptures, can bring particular people into our minds, and we can respond to the Scriptures, whether it's in praying for the person or seeking to do something useful for them. Or in the Scriptures, we may find something something that's new to us, something that's fresh to us, something that just seems really good to us. And God gives a truth that we can share. And the good things that we're given in the Scriptures are things that we can share with others. We can find various different ways of responding to the Word of God. And it's important to understand that to genuinely speak back to God about what He has been saying to you in His Word, that is a response. If you read the Scriptures and never talk to God about what He has said to you in His Word, that's no response. There's no communication there. There's no relationship there. But if He says something to you and then you respond to Him in your prayers, well, that is a response. And whenever in life someone speaks to you about a particular matter, well, then the right thing to do is to speak back to that person about the same matter. You don't talk about something totally different instead. And so when God speaks to us in the Scriptures about some matter, well, then we should respond and talk back to Him about that particular matter. And we should see our reading of the Scriptures and our prayer in response to it as a conversation. Here's what God wants to say to me today. Well, what am I going to say back to Him? And in that, we are responding to the Word. And that applies whether it's what you hear in God's Word preached or whether it's what you read in the Scriptures. We can respond to God in our prayers. We can talk to God about what He has shown us. We can talk to Him about our desire to serve Him in this area. We can pray that God will help us to see how we can go about doing something about this. Now, prayer is always the right place to start in terms of responding to God's Word. But there can be more than that. And sometimes it will be plain that God expects more of us than just to respond to Him in prayer. And sometimes God will show us that we do need to change our thinking, our speaking, or our living. And when that's the case, and when we know that, well, then we need to do more than pray. And so, God would encourage us to make sure that the next time we're taking in His Word one way or another, that we respond in some way. Find some way. Don't just let it wash over you, but find some way of responding to that message of God. We're not very good at responding to God's word. God says so much to us, and our response is not very significant at times. We are like grumpy teenagers. God speaks to us. God has a lot to say to us, and we don't have very much to say in response at all. But every parent knows that a teenage grunt is far, far better than no teenage grunt at all. And even if all we can manage is like a grunt back to God, that's better than nothing. And that's a start. And if we can even acknowledge and just speak back to God and say, Lord, I see that you're telling me here in your word this, that's better than just not saying anything at all about what God has been saying to us in his word. So we need to find a response to the scriptures. And there are different ways in which we can respond, but we need to respond in some way, even if it's only a small way, that we don't ignore God, and that it does make a difference what he says to us. So, the first thing is that we need to take time to meditate on God's word, and then we need to respond in some way. And then the third thing I say in terms of how we can do better at being shaped by God's word is to look for the relevant word. We need to ask ourselves how the word of God applies to the things that are facing us in life. How does God's word apply to everyday decisions and things that we're going through? And you can start not with the Bible and what does it say in this chapter of this book of the Bible, but you can start where you are in life and what's happening to you in life and what you're needing to consider and think about. And you can think to yourself, well, does the Bible have to say anything about this situation that I am facing? What if you're asked to do a lot of overtime in your job? Well, does the Bible say anything about that? Is there anything relevant in the scriptures in regard to working a lot of overtime? What do the scriptures tell us in regard to responsibilities to elderly parents, for example? What does God's word say that's relevant to those kind of life issues that people often face? What does the Bible say about the church's responsibility in caring for the poor? What does the Bible say about a situation where there's the opportunity of going into a business relationship along with someone who doesn't profess to be a Christian? Is that an option in any situation? Or is that something that just isn't to be considered at all? What do the scriptures say in regard to the house that you live in and the state of your decor in the house? Are there any scriptural principles that relate to everyday things like that? What do the scriptures say in terms of how much time in the day you spend looking at a screen, whatever kind of screen it might be? We can start with the issues and consider, does the Bible have anything to say that would guide me in these matters? And sometimes the answers to questions like those can be difficult to find. But sometimes if you're looking for an answer, you'll be reading through the scriptures and you'll find something and you'll be amazed at how relevant that is to the very thing that you're considering. And God is such a wonderfully wise God that he has planned in advance exactly what scriptures we'll be reading at every stage in our lives. And God knows everything that's going to happen in our lives. And he knows how to set a verse of scripture in front of us just at the right time. And we might have read that verse many times before and we've never thought about it. But because of what's happening in our lives, we see something that is relevant. We have a God who knows what he's doing and he's well able to oversee things like this. God wants us to be governed in all that we do in life by his word. He wants us to seek his will in every area of life. He wants us to gladly come into line with his will. And God desires to shape us by his word. The word of God is given to us that we might be shaped according to what is there in the scriptures. Now, we all fall short in this. And none of us are what we could have been if we had really taken on board all that God has said to us in his word. We all fall short, but we can all improve. And we can all find some ways in which the word of God can be more profitable to us, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and day by day in our own personal reading of the word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work, and he is able to take those scriptures that come to us and use those words to shape us to being more the kind of shape that God wants us to be in. And so let us go into this new week that we're in, and let's not rush our intake of Scripture. Let's take time over God's Word, and let's seek each day to respond in some way to what God says to us. And in all the different situations we face, let's not just do our own thing, but let's take time to think now, does God teach me anything in his word that is relevant for this issue that I'm facing now? We need to be increasingly shaped by God's word. Amen. Now, we come to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the scriptures that you've given to us, and we thank you, Lord, for how your word points us to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for how the Lord Jesus was shaped completely by your word, that was his love and his delight, and we praise you, God, for how we can see a life lived in conformity with your word. We confess our own sin, O Lord, and we acknowledge that you've often spoken to us and we have failed to respond to what you've said. Sometimes we just haven't wanted to do the things that you've shown us we should be doing. Other times, O Lord, we haven't really been listening at all and we haven't taken things on board and we haven't understood things. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we have understood, but we haven't really done anything about those things. And Lord, you know what we're like, and you know our shortcomings. But we pray, Lord, that you'll give us a desire that more and more we will respond to what you say. Help us to desire that deeper relationship with yourself, that there would be this conversation that goes on, that you would speak to us in your word, and that we would come back to you in our prayers And then we maybe see something else that you say in your word. And Lord, we look to you in these matters. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you put within us. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope of progress. And we ask, Lord, that you would so work in us that we would want to be shaped increasingly by your good word. Lord, we ask for our ministry students in these days. We pray for them early in their course. And we pray, O Lord, that you will give them a delight in learning from your word. We pray that all that they are taught and all that they take on board will have the desired effect, O Lord. We pray that they would delight, O Lord, in being hearers of your word. But, O Lord, we pray that they will also strive to be doers of your word, and help them as they seek to put into practice the things they learn from all through the scriptures and from church history. And Lord, we pray that you will help these men. We pray for Johnny Fitzsimons and for Kenny Stevenson. Lord, work in them. Help them to be good students of your word. And we pray that you will equip them in every good way for your work of ministry that you have for them to do. We give thanks, O Lord, for the work of the gospel in Scotland. We pray for the Reformed Presbyterian congregations over there. Pray in particular for the Airdrie congregation and the vacancy that they have. And we pray for Peter Lockridge in charge of the church during the vacancy. Help him as he works with the elders there. And we pray that you'll guide them as they consider the possibility of calling someone to serve there. We pray, Lord, for the work in Stornoway, way up in the islands, and for Stranraer, away down in the south. And we pray for Glasgow and for North Edinburgh in between. We pray, Lord, for these places where people gather each Lord's Day. And we pray that you will be at work in strengthening the hearts of your people. We thank you for those who come in who are not yet saved, but who are keen to hear the good news. And we pray, Lord, that people will believe and be added to your church. We pray that you will strengthen your cause, O Lord. And we pray that you will bless the witness of all Christian churches there in Scotland, and help them, O Lord, to be faithful to you. And we pray that you'll be pleased to do a work there in that land, and that there'll be a turning again to you in that land that in the past has known so much blessing. We pray, O Lord, that there will be good days yet to come also. We pray for our brothers and sisters also in Japan. We pray for them, O Lord, and the challenges that they face in the part of the world that they live in. We pray for the small congregations of the RP Church there in Japan. We pray, Lord, that you will raise up men who can serve there as elders. We pray that the men who are serving as elders, and many of them older men, that they would be encouraged in seeing younger men coming through and being willing and able to take on responsibilities. And we pray, Lord, for the young folk in the congregations in Japan. We pray for them and all the pressures that they face to just be like those around them. And we pray, Lord, that they will be courageous and that they will be willing to be obviously different from those around them. And we pray that their hope will be strong, and that they will not be just living for the things of today as others are. And we pray, Lord, that they will be obviously different from those who would follow false religion and believe in things that aren't true at all. Lord, we pray that you will work mightily, and that the Christian church in Japan would grow, that the religion that has prevailed there for a long time, that it will be something that will fade away, and that those who formerly worship what was false will come to know the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we thank you that You have your times at which you work in different parts of the world. We thank you for those places now where there are many, many Christians, when in the past there were hardly any. And Lord, we praise you for that. And we thank you for these seasons that you have appointed, seasons of blessing. And Lord, we pray that you will work mightily and that the gospel will be seen as a glorious and a beautiful thing in the nations of the earth. Lord, we pray that you will turn things around in the parts of the world where the gospel is neglected in these times. Lord, we pray that there will be better times will come. We pray that you will revive your cause, revive your people. And Lord, we pray that the preciousness of the gospel will be rediscovered and that many will find that here is something that is a far more valuable than anything else that is to be found in all the earth. Lord, we pray that you will help us to live as those who serve the greatest master of all. And we pray that in how we conduct ourselves, that we would be good adverts for the Christian faith. And Lord, we pray that others who have no hope will see the hope that we have. And Lord, that they would be drawn to you. Give us the words to speak and give us, O Lord, the life that we need to live. We pray that as we take on board your word, that the things that are seen in us would have an impact, O Lord, that is clearly of you. Father, forgive us all our sins. Work in us now and help us in these things we've been thinking about. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our closing psalm is part of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, part 17. Jennifer, I didn't say if it was A or B. What have you?
I have A.
Yep, that's fine. I forgot to put the A in, so that's what I intended. Psalm 119, part 17A. The tune is Retreat, number 27. And here we have these words. Your statutes, Lord, are wonderful, and so my soul will them obey. The entrance of your words gives light to teach the simple wisdom's way. And these words just speak about the great value of God's word. God's word is wonderful. And his word gives light and it teaches wisdom. There's great, great value in the scriptures. And the psalmist says in stanza 2, that he longed to hear the commands of God. And this delighting in God's word, believing that God's word is really valuable and beneficial. And this is how God wants us to see this is the attitude he wants to see in us in regard to his word. So Psalm 119, it's part 17a, the four stanzas that are here. The tune is Retreat, number 27. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction. now receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.